This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to The Scorecard with Barry Cronin and Mike Esposito, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
And we are back for hour two on The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine, alongside Barry Cronin, editor of the Chicago District Golfer Magazine. I am Mike Esposito, here on 670 The Score, and the great Stevie Ray Vaughan in the background as we celebrate music from Texas with the tour down at the Byron Nelson this weekend. Can't go wrong with a little Stevie Ray. And now, though, Barry, it is time to head on out to the Alpamonte Nissan hotline, Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue, or at apnissan.com. We bump on over to South Carolina, and we are thrilled to talk to the president of the Kiawah Island Golf Resort in South Carolina, long local history here in the Chicago area. Roger Warren joins us on the Scorecard. Good morning, Roger.
Mike, Barry, good morning. Nice to be able to talk to you guys.
Good morning, Roger. Great to talk to you. And folks, Roger Warren, he's got a big job now, but there was a time when he was washing carts out there at the Village Links. Correct me if I'm wrong, Roger.
That's a long time ago, but you're absolutely right, Barry. I did that.
Well, humble beginnings, from the birthplace of Carl Sandburg to the Kiawah Island Resort. Hey, Roger, obviously the PGA is out there next year. You've got a wonderful incumbent group of people there who live right on the island, all golf lovers. I imagine that the anticipation for next week's PGA is pretty high.
Yeah, it's one of those things that when we announced it back in 2015, the excitement just keeps building every year. And certainly the people who live on Kiawah Island, the people who live in Charleston, the entire state of South Carolina, is really looking forward to showcasing what golf is all about in this state and represented by the Ocean Course. And I think it's going to be a great event, exciting event for the people here, a wonderful social event. So I think it's all good. We're looking forward to it.
And the COVID situation, I imagine that it's going to keep the crowds down a little, but the enthusiasm will still be there, I would think.
Yeah, that's true. You know, when we started selling the event about 16 to 18 months ago, we sold out very quickly. All the tickets, all the corporate hospitality sold out. So when we had to then relook at the number of people that would be allowed on site based on the situation with COVID-19, obviously in the last 4 or 5 months, that's been a very fluid situation. So started out last year with the PGA Championship out in San Francisco with no fans, and as the tour was doing. And as we've gone through this year and as the cases have started to drop and people have started to get vaccinated, it's changed the dynamic about how many people can come. The PGA made a decision earlier in the spring about the number of people. So everyone was notified that had a ticket, whether they were going to get to keep their ticket or not. And so we've had to reduce the number of spectators, but we think that even though the number's down, the intensity and the support of the people who will be there will take up some of the slack and help the players understand that we're really happy to see them there and happy to support them as they meet the challenge of the Ocean Course in the next week.
Roger Warren is our guest here on the scorecard. He is the president of the Kiawah Island Golf Resort in South Carolina. The PGA, of course, as we're talking about, will be there next week. And Roger, I know a lot of our listeners are familiar with your name, but certainly a long history here in the Chicago area. Illinois PGA Professional of the Year back in 1998. Illinois PGA President, National PGA President. But you've been down there. I didn't realize that. You've been down there for almost 20 years now at Kiawah.
Yeah, I celebrated my 18th anniversary April 1st, and it's amazing how quickly the time flies. I was blessed to be a part of the Chicago golf scene for a long time. A lot of great golf professionals in that area, owners of golf courses, people who played golf. It was just, it turned into one of the golf hotbeds in the country, and it was fun to be there and then to come down here to South Carolina and experience different grasses, different season. It's all been very, very good, and I've been blessed to do it, and I'm proud of my time in the Chicago area and Illinois area, and I'm equally proud of the time here in the Carolinas. And it is so inspiring right now to see golf make the resurgence it's doing right. All the people who've been open over the season, back to October, November last year, have seen significant growth in participation and play in here in the South and the Southeast. And I'm really hoping that that's what everyone in the Chicago and the Midwest area will also experience, because it's been so gratifying to see that golf has played such an important role during the pandemic to allow people to get at least close to some normalcy in their life as they go out and play golf and get outside. We see more people walking. It's just been a very positive situation with the game of golf, and I'm really proud to be a part of that.
Roger, you were president of the PGA of America and obviously have been involved in the hierarchy of the organization for many years. And, the game of golf has gone through ebbs and flows, up and down. Oh, no, nobody's ever going to play golf again. Oh, wow, we got people playing golf. Isn't it great? And then we had this lull before the pandemic where participation was either flat or going down a little bit. What do you see as how are they going to retain the golfers that have come back? Ed Stevenson was on earlier from the Preserve at Oak Meadows and said that DuPage County golf participation was up 46% last year. And I think that's what it was, where you are and all around the country. How are we going to retain these golfers if we are going to be able to retain them?
Well, I do believe we're going to be able to retain them. And I think the amount of them that we retain is going to be in direct correlation to how appreciated the people who play feel by the people who own the golf courses, take care of them. The last really boom we had in golf was in 1998, and we had a big growth in golf courses in the Chicago area. Everybody's excited about it. And all of us felt like at some point after that, we almost took it for granted. And I think those of us who've been in the business since then understand that you can't do that, and you have to make sure that every player who comes through your facility feels appreciated and wants to come back and have that experience. I also think that the programs that have been done nationally and locally, like in the Illinois section or down here in the Carolina section of the PGA, the junior programs that have happened, the outreach programs to adults to get them involved, there's just a lot of inertia right now that's been provided by the programs that all of us in the business have gotten involved in to try to get new players, keep the players that are here. So I think that we've really gotten to this point through a lot of efforts by a lot of people. And I think we're smarter today than we were in the past. And we're going to work to make sure that the people who come and play enjoy it and that they know that we appreciate it. So I feel very positive that we can keep this surge going.
Great. Roger, as we talk about next week's championship, and you mentioned some of the ticketing situation and dealing with fans and whatnot, but I'm sure and I know the answer to this is already yes, it's an immense undertaking, but can you maybe detail, when you're awarded the PGA championship, you're going to have it, the dates, how many years, what goes on behind the scenes as you get ready to host next weekend?
Well, we really, really, since this is our second time doing it, we also did it in 2012, the real work and planning starts about 2 years out. You start putting together your ticketing plan, your marketing plan, and you get out into the market and start talking about it and start selling your tickets. And then the real effort to do the build out and get it going is probably about, we started about 5 months ago, focusing on, the PGA brings in their operations team and their tournament director about 18 months to 2 years out to be in the community, to meet with, groups, to talk about being involved in it. And so it's a concerted effort. The PGA of America, and obviously my past association may be biased, but I think they are the best in coming into the communities and getting the community involved in the event and making sure that the community understands how important they are to the event. And they're very professional at what they do. They're organized, the people in there, the leadership they provide to get this site built out. We've got, you start with corporate hospitality tents and all of the infrastructure that has to be there so that it can be delivered to both the fans on site and then the people who watch it around the world on TV. All of that is just about done. We will be done tomorrow getting it ready, and then Monday when the players get here, everything's ready to go, and the party takes place. So it's a lot like party planning. You do a lot of planning, then you get here and you execute, and you hope that it comes off well. And I do want to give props to our golf superintendent at the Ocean Course, Jeff Stone. This is his second PGA Championship, and he has done an outstanding job. This golf course is in meticulous shape, and the conditions we have down here in May are much different than when we had it in August in 2012. It's cooler. Our temperature last night was 55 degrees. It'll be 70. Most days, 70 to 75 during this event. The wind is going to be up. So I think it's going to provide the challenge and the excitement for both the players and the fans because of the conditions that will be present for them as they participate in this event.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. Can't give too many props to the golf course superintendents, that's for sure. They really get the job done. Roger, I wanted to ask you, every year at the Masters, they come out and they're always asked. Fred Ridley, the chairman of the Masters, was asked this year about the golf ball. And we all listen. The media says, why don't you, basically asking, what are you going to do about the golf ball? It's going too far. And I sit there and watch that and I say, well, my golf ball doesn't go too far. It goes too short. And I sit there, and you were obviously at the highest levels of the PGA of America, and I know you're still involved and you know a lot of people there. As a PGA professional, I think you probably agree with me that for a lot of most people playing the game, it doesn't go too far. Are we going to see at some point with the USGA, with Mike Wann taking over, another West Suburban guy, Naperville, in a month or two, are we going to see a bifurcation of the golf ball? We're going to see the pros playing a tour ball and the rest of us playing what we need to play to have fun.
Well, I'll start by saying that I'm not in a position to give any statement on behalf of the PGA or anybody else other than myself here. I'm 71 years old and I play golf regularly and I can still hit the yardages that I hit my driver when I was 41 or 31, which tells me that, and it's not because I'm a better player or stronger, but it's because the equipment has allowed me to have that opportunity. And I think that is so important as we continue to want to make sure that the public plays the game, enjoys the game, that players can see themselves getting better. And I do believe that it is a challenge at the professional level and the elite player level to look at how far the ball is going. But it's not just the ball. It is the fact that equipment is better. The technology is better. The players are bigger and stronger and in better condition at the professional level because they work at it. It's their job. So I think it's a mistake to just look at the ball by itself. It may be the easiest thing to do, but I do believe that that golf courses that we have today that want to host professional events are faced with a quandary because do you take your golf course and try to lengthen it to a length that only professionals will play? Do you build new golf courses with lengths that only professionals will benefit by? Or do you do something to bring that back? Our golf course, it's going to play at 7,876 yards for the championship. It's the longest yardage for any major championship in history. And we can still go back to 8,000 yards if we have to. But in the end, you have to question, there aren't that many golf courses in the country that can do that. And so I think there's a practical responsibility to look at it. And it is a multifaceted problem relative to the professional game. I don't think it's as big a problem for the amateur game, and I would hope that a solution could be found that doesn't negatively impact the experience for the amateur player as we continue to try to keep them involved and playing in this game. And I think at this point we're going to have to look at it objectively and see what solutions can be can come out of this discussion.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that you're going to play the longest tournament ever. In 2005 or 6 at the Medina PGA, it was the longest course ever played at 7,561 yards. So you've added two or 300 yards to the event out at the Ocean Course. So you think for the average players, they're going to leave the ball alone and maybe tighten it up for the pros?
I don't know, but that's what, if I was asked that question by someone who had the opportunity to take the input and make a decision on it, that's what I would recommend, because I see the enjoyment. We have our community here is an established age community, if you will, and I see so many of them out there playing and enjoying the game and hitting the ball. I play with a guy who's 80 years old every time I play, and he's moved up a set of tees a couple times, but he still hits the ball in a way that he recognizes it. That's the way he hit it when he's younger, and he can still score. And I think that's what this is about, making sure people have fun and play the game and play it for their whole life. And I don't think we, as the leaders of the game, should try to get in the way and impede that enjoyment or that progress for them.
Well, Roger, we're out of time here. We really appreciate you joining the show this morning, and best of luck with the championship next week. I'm sure it will be great, and I'm sure we'll all be watching. So we really appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks, Barry. Enjoyed talking to you, and you guys keep it going. I loved listening to the golf shows on Score, and I'm glad you're still doing it.
Awesome.
Thank you very much, Roger. We'll look forward to catching up soon.
Okay, take care.
That's Roger Warren, president of the Kiawah Island Golf Resort, Chicago area history, native of Galesburg, been around the block here in the state of Illinois in the city of Chicago, and a former listener of the show, Barry, and there's something for that, certainly, that we appreciate.
He's a former listener and longtime guest on the show. I know
sure.
that when in the Phil Kozin iteration of this show,
yeah.
Roger was on many times because Phil was a West Suburban guy, and
sure.
and so was Roger. So it was just great to have Roger on. He's such a good guy, and of course everybody knows him. So now we've had two giants of the West Suburban golf community on our show, Ed Stevenson and Roger Warren. So it's a great thing. The Western suburbs, there's a lot of golf out there.
And he said it, and I noticed it too, and just kind of prepping for the show. He's been down in South Carolina for almost 20 years. It's crazy to think that, but the time flies, I guess, when you're having fun. And certainly that has been the case for Roger down there at Kiawah.
Yes, good man, good man.
And, good man. He's going to have his hands full next week, too, with the PGA Championship, and certainly will be exciting watching them play the Ocean Course next weekend.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say we are late for a timeout, so we need to take that. When we come back, we will get back to the Byron Nelson Championship, and then before we're out of here, our Swing Thoughts segment with Dan Kochevar from the Oak Brook Golf Course, all of that and more. When we return on the Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine, Barry Cronin, Mike Esposito, here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Back on the scorecard, presented by our friends at Chicago now. District Golfer Magazine.
Let take the time.
Billy Gibbons.
Let the check outside the game.
And they talk about Texas right there in the first line, Barry. How could we not have that in our Texas music segment as we travel down to McKinney, Texas, right outside Dallas for the Byron Nelson Championship. And ZZ
See,
Top,
you thought
certainly.
LaGrange is in the western suburbs of Chicago.
That's right.
There it is down in Texas.
ZZ Top tells you otherwise, right?
There you go. Hey, Mike, I wanted to mention something real quick before we get on to Dan Kochevar, great instructor from the western burbs. Hinsdale's Mac McClear, sophomore at the University of Iowa, was the individual champion at the Big Ten tournament. Recently, mm-hmm. We talked with Mike Small last week. His Illinois team won as a team. They won the Big Ten championship. But I wanted to mention that Mac McClear, who is from Hinsdale, won the individual title. So congratulations to him and another West Suburban golfer. It's amazing. They're all over the place.
We always want to mention the local tie-ins. We always want to spotlight and highlight our local golfers. So absolutely, congrats there. This segment presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. And as we were chuckling around the ZZ Top, we are having fun with being down in Texas at the Byron Nelson Championship. The home tourney of a Jordan Spieth, as we might say, but Jordan among the leaders. He is currently tied for sixth after a 63-70 on the first 2 days. It's funny, I was looking at the scores as we were talking to Art Strickland, who's down there covering the event, Barry, and I'm looking at guys, because you guys were talking about the 6-under and how that's the cut line. Sergio Garcia shot a 65 on Thursday and missed the cut with a 75 yesterday. That's unbelievable when you think about it. It's like, hey, you shot a 65 in your first round. You're automatically thinking that you're playing the weekend. Maybe not. Not with the scores as low as they are this weekend.
Well, I think the wind came up a little bit on Friday, so the boys had a little bit of a problem. You shoot 65 on Thursday, you think you're pretty much going to cruise into the weekend. But I don't know exactly what happened to Sergio, but whatever it was, it wasn't so good. So anyway, we'll move on.
Yep.
You know,
Kepka
missed the cut too, and so did Jason Day and a number of other guys. Will Zalatoris and Hideki Matsuyama barely made it. They made it on the number at 6-under. So, and Spieth is at 11-under. He's six shots back of Sam Burns, who's at 17-under, which is where he was when he won the Tampa Bay event a couple of weeks ago. So they're having their way with the TPC at Craig Ranch. But, you know, a lot of guys did miss the cut, and we'll see what happens. Maybe today they'll tuck the pins a little bit and maybe double cut those greens a little bit and roll them and make it a little more challenging for the boys.
Yeah, and I was going to mention that, too. We'll see if this pace keeps up. And if so, then certainly very easy to make a run at this, unless Burns runs away and hides at 17-under. I mean, he shot a 62 yesterday, but, I mean, hey, listen, we had Spieth with a 63 on Thursday. We had a few 63s on Thursday. 62 for Burns yesterday. I mean, some low 60s and lots of mid 60s scores so far in the first 2 days.
Well, yep, and it's all really about, when you look at the tournament, it's about that tournament, but it's also about the preparation for next week. And Spieth, this is his first tournament back. He had COVID. He was out for a couple of weeks. And, you know, if he wins next week at Kiowa at the PGA Championship, that'll be the fourth leg of the Grand Slam, and he'll have achieved the career Grand Slam at a very young age. And that's really going to be the drama next week, as well as Rory McIlroy having won last week, and he won last time the tournament was at it was at Kiowa. He won in 2012 the PGA. So it'll be a good tournament next week. Hey, Mike, the other thing I wanted to do is mention we had a couple of guys who are really big in the industry who passed away this past week. One is Bill Abrams, a golf pro who was actually on our show a couple of weeks ago. Untimely death at age 55.
Holy cow.
Very shocking and terrible. And Bill was in addition to just being a wonderful guy, a lot of achievements: 2019 Illinois PGA Teacher of the Year, Central Illinois PGA Teacher of the Year in 2017, just a lot of accolades, and a really fine man. And so it's a big loss. He was the head golf professional out at Balmoral Woods Country Club out in Crete, and had his own golf business going. A great teacher, and just a real shame. So I just wanted to a shout out to Bill's family and also his extended family in golf in the Chicago area and in the state of Illinois and nationally. He was a nationally known figure. And the other gentleman I wanted to mention was Roger Moore. Roger was with the was a director at the Western Golf Association for many years, and was the president for a while, was involved with their endowment fund. He passed away at the age of 89 last week, and I just wanted to mention that two fine men in the golf industry, and we just wanted to tip our caps to them.
Yeah, no, and that's very surprising. I mean, you mentioned Bill was just on the show a few weeks ago. That's very sad news, and our condolences to the families and friends of those gentlemen. You never know, Barry, right? Get on out and enjoy today, because tomorrow is promised to no one. I guess it's time to start, thinking like that, or it's always good to think like that, right? You don't know what tomorrow may bring.
As a cancer survivor, my motto is front load your life. So
there you go. Well, and you know what? And that's good words to live by there. We will step away for a second, Barry. When we come back, you mentioned Dan Kochevar. He is from Oak Brook Golf Course. He will be our Swing Thoughts segment guest. We will talk to an Illinois PGA Teacher of the Year, how he goes about teaching juniors, and everything going on there at Oak Brook as well. But before we do that, and I know you love this too, we have a contest, and we love contests. We love giving stuff away. But here's how we're doing it. You've got to log on to the CDGA's website, cdga.org/contest. You got to register to win a CDGA season starter pack. You'll get an Imperial hat, towel, and zero friction super tube with Spectrum matte balls, tees, and a universal fit glove. Everything you need to start the season. So head on over to the CGA's website, cdga.org/contest, and register to win that contest. When we come back, we will talk to Dan Kochevar from Oak Brook Golf Course on our Swing Thoughts segment here on The Scorecard on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Just let it happen. Be the ball. Be the ball, Danny. You're not being the ball, Danny.
Well, it's kind of difficult with you talking like
that. Okay, I'm not talking. Stop talking.
And now, The Scorecard presents Swing Thoughts. Some free advice from the best teachers in the game.
And who doesn't love a little free advice as we jump back into The Scorecard presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine? Barry Cronin, Mike Esposito, our final segment of the show, and it is Swing Thoughts. And we are happy to hop on out to the Alpamonte Nissan hotline, Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue, or at apnissan.com. And Dan Kochevar joins us, former Illinois PGA Teacher of the Year from Oak Brook Golf Course. Hey, Dan, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. Good morning, Barry. How you guys doing?
Good morning, Dan. Great to talk with you. Dan, nothing people like better than free golf lessons. So, you know, you're on the spot. You know, help us. We don't know what to do.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you.
Yeah, any advice you have for, you know, we're kind of still starting the season. It's been, the weather's been crummy and everything. So what advice do you have, Dan? Help us.
Well, you know, Barry, when you asked me about the swing advice and everything, one main thing that I want to advise any of our listeners and everything, everybody has their own swing and their own sense of time, regardless if the swing is too inside, too upright, too flat, et cetera. But everybody has their own swing. So, therefore, everybody has their own time in their swing. And my advice, as far as a swing tip, is to try to have each one of the persons get an idea of how can they complete their backswing in order for them not to rush their downswing. So, whether it's keying in on your hip turn, your torso turn, your hands, most of the time it's the impatience from the top of the swing in order to hit the ball. And I think everybody out there has a certain stress level when it comes to hitting the ball, and they don't give themselves their appropriate time. So it's not everybody's on the driving range hitting golf balls. Some people just go to the tee, but they have to be patient enough to complete their move and get their feeling on how they're going to hit the ball well, because everybody who's played the game has hit that shot that was really good. And I always say you got to have the time and the place to remember that shot and try to the best of your ability to try to recreate that. And I find that, you know, without getting technical in arm position, hand position, turn, et cetera, is that for the players to kind of go back and kind of get an idea of what that shot felt like and try to recreate it as much as they can.
Yeah. Boy, Dan, you know, that's true. Sometimes you can be standing there on a tee and you hit a great tee shot on the hole number one and then you're doing okay. And then all of a sudden, it goes away, and then how do you recapture it? That's the great dilemma of golf, I think.
Well, you know, what I find the recapturing is also an understanding that, you know, when you do hit that certain shot that's really good and the swing felt well, you might approach the next shot, and you might have a completely different lie, different angle, different stress level. And what you want to do is try to put yourself in a situation where I want to hit a shot that creates the most comfort. Years ago, I used to say you got to not have favorite clubs, you got to get better at each and every club. But the reality of people do have favorite clubs and favorite situations. And I say, you know, if you're in a situation that's more difficult, hit the shot or in the club that you feel most comfortable with and play the game. That's why you have short game. That's why you have 14 clubs. That's why you work on putting, et cetera. But people tend to feel like they have to hit the shot to hit a certain distance. And that's where they get into trouble. And that's where the scores go up.
And it seems like when you hit a good shot, sometimes the next time you get up on the tee, you hit a good tee shot, and the next time you get up a tee, you say, I'm going to hit this one even better than I hit the last one, and then I just yank it into the woods on the left, you know.
Yeah. Well, I cause it the swinging hard syndrome. So what happens is somebody, when they really time something, it could be their maximum speed and their best shot. And the reality of, and I think everybody out to realize, you know, I didn't even feel like I swung that hard. And I try to tell people, TrackMan, for example, or FlightScope, there's not a device on it that says hard swing. It's speed, it's solidness of contact, it's ball speed. It's not how hard you swing. Mm-hmm. So what happens, you're right, when people hit it good, I'm going to try to hit this next one better. So what does instinct take over? They swing harder. And then the timing gets all messed up, et cetera.
Yeah. Talking with Dan Kochevar from Oak Brook, and Dan, we actually have a text question that I'm going to throw to you because we have people out there wanting to ask you some questions, and we're kind of talking about this, I think, but your best swing thought from the transition from the end of your backswing to the start of your downswing.
I feel it's almost the completion probably of the torso or shoulder turn. And almost feel like you can wait on that, so then you can kind of swing your arms through the shot. A lot of times people will talk about, you know, trying to use their lower body to transition. And sometimes it's very hard to feel that when you're in the swing. On the range, you can maybe work on, you know, transitioning your lower body and think about when you're on the golf course, what you bring on the golf course with your legs and hips are going to be there. So I would say the completion of the
upper body turn, and then the transition, which is always the hardest thing to teach. I tell people going from the finishing of the backswing to the start of the downswing is hard not only to teach, but it's also hard to feel. So it's almost like you turn and then get a feel of where your arms need to come in through the shot to hit your most successful shot.
Dan, you teach a lot of youngsters as well as adults, et cetera. How young do kids come in and see you? How old are they, and what do you work on with them?
Well, I pretty much start working individually with juniors when they get around junior high age. There's a lot of wonderful programs, even here at Oprah Golf Club. Jeff does a great job with the younger, littler kids. But my success is usually when they get to junior high all the way through they get a job in life. When you get kids involved at a younger age and make it fun, there's some wonderful programs that are out there to get the kids that are 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. But I always say if you do get your kids into that at that young of age, make sure they get the right equipment. U.S. Kids does a fantastic job as far as getting the clubs at a very reasonable price. So the kids are swinging clubs that they should have. If kids are not swinging quite the clubs they want, if they're not hitting it as good, and you're not giving them the best chance. So I think that's very critical for the parents to think about, you know, making that little investment every 2 years at 6, 8, 9, or whatever it might be until they move into regular equipment, depending on their height and size.
Right. Now, Dan, you've been out there at Oakbrook Golf Club for a long time now, almost 20 years, and I know you've taught a lot of people, whether it's kids, adults, whatever. What would you classify, I guess, as the biggest change, the biggest difference from what you see from when you started there to now in terms of teaching and in terms of maybe the receptiveness to some of the teaching?
Well, you know, there's a lot of different changes, and some things are happening quickly. Like in the past year, there's a tremendous amount of new younger adults picking up the game, you know, due to, say, COVID and the popularity of sport, the golf game. And you start seeing the environment that golf has within country clubs. They're super busy, busier than they've ever been. Our golf course here is in beautiful shape, the new clubhouse improvements. So people like the environment of being around. So that change of the game is just the exposure to it is the most recent change. If you go back about 20 years when the boom, like Roger was talking about, the Tiger boom had a different, because there was more golf courses and they were thinking about building more golf courses. And so that just kind of snowballed, and then it leveled out a little bit. As a matter of fact, I was listening to Roger and Barry. Roger's the one who gave me a call to get on the Illinois Junior Golf Association board back when he was going to be running for a PGA. So I've known Roger for a lot of years, and he did a wonderful job with the Illinois Junior Golf to how it started growing. And you can even see the competitive juniors have gotten – it's a bigger and bigger pool of – maybe not so much numbers, but they play a lot. You know, they're getting more competitive, even in a regional and national sense. So there's a lot of different little changes. And I think as golf professionals and course managers and green superintendents, you almost have to be up on the what's happening now because things are happening a lot quicker. It's not a slow, this is what's happening. You have to adjust a lot quicker in this game. And the same thing when you start training people. People are getting their information through YouTube, et cetera, and you almost have to, your job is to try to, you know, dissect what they're talking about, listening to, and how would it apply to them. So it's like you got to keep up on a lot of different things nowadays.
Dan, we've got the DuPage County Junior this weekend at the Preserve at Oak Meadows, and you were the founder of that tournament in 1999. Can you tell us a little bit about that and why you did it?
Yeah, Barry. Back in the 90s, Mike Monroe opened up the White Pines Golf Dome, 91, and I started teaching there more full-time in 93. And what I was noticing was that there was a tremendous amount of juniors starting to get into the wintertime practicing with their parents, et cetera, and the dome was packed. So one thing was the Illinois Junior Golf didn't start until June 1st, and I started thinking if they're going to start practicing, well, we should have an event. There was no events in the spring until June. The Plantation Tour came in the 2000s. So what I decided to do was to run a tournament. It was all word of mouth. And for a number of years, it was fill out the thing. There was no computers or nothing. And first event was 180 players. Second event was 243 players, and then it was 270. It was all at Maple Meadows, and then we got Oak Meadows involved. Ken Lindsay and I got together to start it, and because he was the golf professional that would run it after the permanent tee times. The kids loved it so much, the demand was there, and now the way things are, it's one of the majors at Illinois Junior Golf, and my sister and I, she was the one who helped my family. We just run it all as a family. And we reached out to all the good players, and you get the good players, you bring in everybody else, and that's how it came. And then in 2012, I donated to Illinois Junior Golf because they were association because they were fantastic in helping us out and running it. Now it's become a really big organized event. We got the Junior World qualifying. I went out to San Diego so that we moved the Junior World from Bloomington to DuPage County. So since then, it's really developed into something special that we're all proud of and everything. So it was a lot of fun when we ran it, but it was also a lot of work.
Yeah, no, and that's one thing we talked about with Roger, too. I mean, and obviously running the PGA Championship and running a Junior Golf Classic, probably a little bit different in terms of scope. but right, it's still, you're doing all the party planning. You're doing all the tournament planning. I'm sure there's a ton of back work that goes in there that nobody sees that takes up lots of your time.
Absolutely. And, you know, you have weather involved when you start it in the springtime because you never know what's going to happen. And, you know, I feel for these kids a lot because they do train a lot in the winter. We train our kids pretty hard and they kind of get ready. And the next thing you know, some weekends it's raining, some days super windy. You know, they don't have the luxury of the great conditions, but they toughen up and they really learn how to play. You don't want to give them excuses, but there's a lot of legitimate excuses of how difficult it is to play in the spring. So I give them credit for, you know, trying to do their best, and it's especially in a developing stage, age and stage.
Well, and it's interesting now, Dan, as you know, Illinois Junior Golf Association starts the first week in April now. So you know, they're 6 weeks ahead of where you were back in 1999. So it's a real tribute to you that you started this event, and it goes on, and it's been going on. It's been so popular there for years. And it's just terrific. So it's great. And I know that everybody in the golf community in Chicago appreciates your efforts on that.
Well, I appreciate that, Barry. And I'll tell you, Matt, and all the workers at the Illinois Junior Golf Association, they work hard. They got these long days and hours. And we put on their plate of let's run some earlier events because the demand's there. Parents are happy, you know, that they're got a chance their kids to play and things, and you know, it's all good. And you know, we as a board appreciate their efforts, and we appreciate the kids, you know, trying to do the best they can. And we also understand it's a difficult game, and this is going to help them in the long run in a lot of things they do.
Dan, it's great to talk to you again. GolfOakbrook.org is the website, correct? If people want to get a hold of you and find out more about Oak Brook Golf Club.
Absolutely, and the course is in fantastic shape, and like a lot of golf courses in the area, we welcome the golfers, and we know it's busy, but you know what? There's nothing better. There's nothing much better to do than get out there and play some golf.
Yep. Let's get out of quarantine. Let's get back outside. And Dan Kochevar, we appreciate your time on our Swing Thoughts segment this morning.
You got it, Mike. Thanks a lot, Barry. Mike.
Thanks, Dan.
Dan Kochevar from Oak Brook Golf Club, golfoakbrook.org, as we mentioned, and great guy. I didn't realize he was the founder of the Junior Classic, Barry, and very cool. We've sprayed to all fields, as they say in baseball this morning here.
And Mike, we had the I like to call them the West Suburban Golf Mafia, and it's a large group,
yes.
But boy, those boys. There is a group, and they're really, it's really terrific. So
no, it was great talking. Yeah, Dan, it was great talking to Dan Kochevar. It was great talking to Roger Warren from Kiowa, Art Strickland down at the Byron Nelson, and Ed Stevenson from the Preserve at Oak Meadows and the Forest Preserve District of DuPage County. Appreciate all their time this morning. Thanks to you for listening and texting us in. Appreciate Adam Studzinski, as always, does a great job producing this show. Barry, thanks to you, my friend. We'll talk to you again next week, PGA Championship Week.
That will be fun, Mike. I'll look forward to talking to you. Thank you so much. It was a really good show. Thanks for a great job.
Great show, Barry. And yes, so we will leave Wade to early odds next, and then inside the clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw. Full day of sports excitement right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.